This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Welcome to the NetFront Presence. I'm Jeff Gordon of the Post-Dispatch, joined by our beat reporter Matthew DeFranks, back from the Windy City and a spectacular Winter Classic. So before we get into any depressing topics, I want to get Matthew's take on both the event itself, which the weather was more or less cooperative under some potentially bleak circumstances, and of course the game itself. And all in all, it seems like it was a win for the league and a win, obviously, for the Blues.
Yeah, it was a great event, a fun experience to be there and be a part of. And I think the thing that gets lost with these games, it just doesn't translate to TV that well. You know, the being there, even in the press box, I mean, the windows were closed, and so you couldn't really hear a lot of what was going on outside when you're in the box. And like, you didn't really feel like you were part of a big event, or you could look around and see everything, but it didn't really have that feeling to it unless you stepped outside and watched a little bit from the stands. And then you started to feel that. You started to feel the energy from the crowd. You could hear everything. You could, you know, see where the pockets of Blues fans were, and it felt a lot different. And so I'm just imagining, you know, if that's the difference from being in the stands to being inside, I don't know what the difference from, you know, being in Chicago versus watching it on TV would be. So I don't think it truly, you know, TV probably didn't capture the scale of it. And you know, this was the second one that I was lucky enough to cover. I did the one down in Dallas in 2020 against Nashville, the Cotton Bowl, and that kind of had the same feeling for me, where you see the game in this big stadium and it's really grand, and they have a lot of different things going on before the game, and it's very cool to be at. And yeah, like you said, the weather was mostly cooperative. I mean, it was kind of drizzling on, I guess, Tuesday morning before the, I don't even know what day it is. If you ask me what day it was today, I would say today. So I guess on Tuesday morning, it was drizzling all that morning and kind of cleared up by the end of the first period. And from there, it was still a little bit windy, but 38 degrees. It was, you know, a night game at that point. And dark enough to worry about the sun. So the weather cooperated well enough that the ice was decent enough for the last two periods. But, you know, the event itself, very fun to be at, very cool experience. And, you know, I wonder how different it was from the first Ridley game. I'm sure plenty of things, but cool to be at. And, of course, for the Blues, it helps that it was a fun memory, a good experience when they win 6-2. I don't think the Chicago Blackhawks are looking back at this event saying that it was a fun experience, even though they might have had the same atmosphere around them.
Well, it is a showcase game, and for the league and for a franchise, you know, and it's one that the Blues have, you know, certainly raised their profile under the Stillman ownership. You know, a lot of things have happened on the watch, Tom's watch, you know, hosting one of these tremendous events, you know, an all-star weekend, winning a Stanley Cup. This once struggling franchise that went through a lot of bad ownership issues and yet persevered. It's just another really cool thing for the franchise, and for them to show out and have a good game on that stage just added that much more to it.
Yeah, and Stillman was in the Blues dressing room after the game. And so I was able to chat with him for a few minutes. And, you know, I asked him, you know, how does this one compare to the previous two wins? Because, you know, they're 3-0 Winter Classics now. It's only them and the Rangers who are undefeated in outdoor games. And he goes, well, you know, nothing really compares to having it at home. You know, that 2017 game at Busch Stadium, where you have all the events around it for your fans. You know, Chicago had the events too, but you know, those are for the Chicago fans, tinted towards Blackhawks fans. You know, obviously they had a fan fest and Blues fans were welcome there, but it's not the same vibe as taking over a stadium for 2 weeks. You know, you're there for 2 days and then you're out of there. But the one in St. Louis back in 2017, he was mentioning that they had all these different events going on. They had the ice for 10 days. They were able to do a lot of things I think we remember the alumni game too. I mean, they sold out an alumni game between these two teams. So that one clearly has a special place in the franchise's history. And I think the fact that the Blues fans showed up in Wrigley the way that they did, by the end of that game, it sounded like the Enterprise Center. There was not much for Blackhawks fans to be cheering about. And basically, if you're behind the first base dugout, there was Towel Man counting out six goals. There were fans chanting, "Let's go Blues." They were singing, "When the Blues Go Marching In." Like, it was a party for basically the last 10 minutes of the third period because there were so many Blues fans, number one, and number two, they're up by four goals. So it was a good experience for the NHL to see the Blues fans show up as well. That's one more thing that Tom Stillman said, was that he was sitting with an NHL executive, and he was impressed at how many Blues fans there were and how loud they were, and how much they were cheering. So a good look for the Blues themselves to show up in this big game, get a win. A good thing for the Blues organization, having fans show up as they did, and obviously doing it in front of the NHL bigwigs. I mean, that helps for sure.
Now, Jim Montgomery really enjoyed it. As you report, he soaked it all in. He enjoyed it. And he said, "Okay, that was great. Now we need to set this aside. Enjoy it. We enjoyed it. Set it aside now. And eventually, you're going to have to get back and into the grind and play some hockey." And he's kind of glad they had a little chance to digest this and so let it soak in and relish it, because you're right back at it, right? And you got to just come right back to work with a couple of games back to back. And an opportunity to try to build some traction. You've had a couple of good games and a loss that you wish you had won based on your territorial control. But all in all, you're trying to find that turning point and that consistency and that sustained traction. And we move past the Winter Classic, and it's time to do just that.
Yeah, it is a different game. Like, it, we talked about it being 2 points in the standings, but it just feels so much different from every other game because it is so much different than any other game. Like, I remember, I kind of had this feeling a little bit today out at Blues practice, but I remember back in 2020, when you're writing about the home Winter Classic, you have so many other things going on for 2 months. Every single day, you're writing about which performers there are, you're writing about what the fan experience is, if there's parking changes, transportation changes, what the jerseys are, all of these different things for 2 months leading up to the game, you're writing about the game, and then it happens, and then it's over, and that's it. You have so much buildup for it, and then it just, in 3 hours, it's done. And today, showing up at Centene for Blues practice, they had a lot of energy. They had a lot of energy on the ice today, but I felt that kind of a letdown. Like, well, I guess we're back to, watching the Blues play against the Ottawa Senators on Friday. And if I'm feeling that, I imagine what the players are feeling. And that's something that Jim Montgomery, he was actually a little thankful for, that they had these extra couple days. They played on New Year's Eve. They flew back to St. Louis on New Year's Day. Had a practice today on, oh my goodness, on Thursday. Yeah, today's on Thursday. And then they'll play the Ottawa Senators tomorrow and Columbus on Saturday. So he was thankful that they had these extra days because, I mean, even he was one of these guys who's taking it in. An hour and a half ish before the game, he was just walking up and down the, first base line, right field line, just saying hi to fans, taking pictures, waving at them, just looking around, taking everything in. And that was something I think I noticed that the Blues staff was doing a ton, honestly. Like, the Blackhawks staff, I didn't see them doing the same thing. And Jim Montgomery said he did that in Fenway too, when he was the Bruins head coach, when they hosted the Winter Classic against Pittsburgh 2 years ago. And he's basically saying, yeah, you don't know if you're ever going to be able to do this again, and so you have to take advantage when it does happen. And so the moment is not lost on him, and the rebound from the moment is not lost on him as well. So the schedule lightens up a ton for them in the next few days, or the next few weeks, months, honestly. 14 of the next 20 are at home. So many road games in November and December, and this will be helpful to have so many home games and winnable games too. I mean, if you look at this week alone, They had Buffalo. That was a winnable game. They played decently enough, but a few mistakes in the third cost them, and they came away with 0 points. They had Chicago, worst team in the league. They got Ottawa. They got Columbus. They have some bad teams on their schedule right now. And if they're going to make a push for the playoffs, which they still want to do, they're going to need to play above 100-point pace for the remainder of the season, which is about half the season. So they're going to need to get going, and the schedule lightens up enough for them to give them an opportunity to do so. And I think Jim Montgomery and the Blues know that.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of the players. You know, we always talk about Jordan Binnington. He's such an integral part of what they want to do. You know, the Buffalo game is one of those games. A couple things went wrong and ends up in the net. Couldn't save, you know, there have been a few games like that this season, for sure. But this was a stage game, a big stage game, and a chance for him to show a broader audience what he does, and not only get to win this game, these 2 points, but it was a big stage moment ahead of the tournament that's looming, where there'll be a ton of focus on him. And I thought for him, just it was a good chance for him to show out, and he's going to have to play really well for this team leading into the Big Four Nations tournament.
Yeah, and he has that reputation as a big stage guy. I mean, we all know what he did in 2019. Obviously, that's don't even need to talk about that to Blues fans. And then we know what he was had the potential to maybe do in 2022 when he came in, won the series against Minnesota, had a Colorado. I don't know if on the ropes is quite the right term, but he had them wondering, you know, at least asking questions of themselves. We know what happened to Colorado going on to win the cup that year, but he played well enough in that series to, you know, to give some revisionist history an actual thought, you know, what happens if he doesn't get hurt in that series. So we know that he is a big stage guy. And if you look at his season this year, there's really maybe four big stages that you would think about. One would be Four Nations. And we obviously don't know what the outcome of that's going to be, but the expectation that is that I would think he's be the number one goaltender. Canada hasn't announced that at all, but it seems like, you know, that's the reason why he's on that team, to be that number one guy. So he's got that. He's got the Winter Classic, which we saw him, you know, made 28 saves in, huge massive save on Taylor Hall in that second period, could have cut it to a one goal game. Instead, Dylan Holloway comes back a minute later, scores to make it 4-1. That's the game. Game's over at that point, right? So makes that huge save, guides him through the second period. He made 15 saves in the second period. And he kind of weathered that storm at the end of the first, too, when Chicago had the last 9 shots on goal. So that middle 30 minutes, basically, he kind of steadied the ship. And you know, the other two games I would think about would be going back to Toronto, and he won that game. You know, I think it's always big for him to go back home and play well. And then opening night, like, he's been historically great on opening night, and he was great in Seattle. So opening night, check. Toronto, check. Winter Classic, check. Like, this is just some big events that he's been really good at, and really needed a game like this to, I don't know if he needed it, but I think everyone watching the Blues sees the results and the games that he's played, and this is only the second win of his last 8 starts. And at a certain point, you're a goaltender, you go out there, you know, 5-6 starts in a row, you don't win a game, that has to affect you at least a little bit, right? So the fact that he's able to go out there, have a good performance in a big stage, and do so when he has been struggling to find results, those are all big things for a guy like Binnington, I think.
Of course, Cam Fowler has a big game and a joyous occasion. And this is a guy that, again, we mentioned this before, but, you know, I would have thought there was any number of teams with serious cup hopes. Admittedly, all those teams have cap issues to deal with, but any number of teams with serious contention hopes would have wanted Cam Fowler, just because he is just a solid pro who can really play in all situations and has got a few miles left on those tires. He comes to the Blues, which I still am impressed by Doug Armstrong making the move to improve this team. And man, you know, now your top five looks a lot different than before. It just, you know, yeah, one of the goals was just seeing eye goal and such, but he's just been solid and has finally settled the defensive pieces here for Jim Montgomery.
Yeah, and that's something you wrote about back when the trade happens. And I think so far you've been bang on, and probably were more on that than I was, to be honest. I didn't know what Fowler would look like with the Blues. I mean, obviously he had a tough end of his time in Anaheim, but he's been remarkable. I'm looking at the numbers right now. Since he was traded to the Blues, no defense pair at 5-on-5 has played more minutes in the league than Fowler and Parayko together. And at 5-on-5, they got 54% of the shot attempts, 56% of the shots on goal. They've outscored opponents 8-5. The Blues have, with those guys on the ice, positive in expected goals, positive in scoring chances. They've been really, really good, and they've been doing this with a touch more of defensive zone responsibility than offensive zone responsibility, and getting top matchups. Like, they've been playing really, really well. And obviously Fowler has the point production to go with all of that too. So if you look at the on-ice effects for Fowler and Parayko, the point production for Fowler, and also the fact that he seems to have given them a little something on the power play. They went through that tough spell. They put him on the top unit. He has that goal that goes off the post and in St. Louis for his first one as a Blue, that was the exact second the penalty ended. So it was developed on the power play. He shot the puck on the power play. It just happened to go in when the penalty had expired, so didn't count as a power play goal. But in spirit, it's there. So he has that one later in that game against Nashville, 4-on-3 goal that Robert Thomas scores that Fowler puts up an assist on, I think. And then he has that one in Ridley Field, stepping into the slot, finding some soft area, using a table to ride and screen at the net front to score. So he's provided a little bit of juice on the power play, which it needed some. He's been really good at 5-on-5, controlling play. He's added offense. Like, he's done a lot of the things that the Blues have needed. And so far, it looks like a great acquisition by Doug Armstrong. And the thing is, he just plays a thousandth game. He's gonna have an emotional one coming up soon when Anaheim comes to St. Louis. And he's also an older guy, so how much of this is a new team bump, so to speak, or how much of this is what we're gonna be seeing for the next year and a half from Cam Fowler as long as he's in St. Louis?
Ideally, they'll be able to spread the minutes. As you talked about, I think in the last time we were together in the net front, they're able to, they've got five top four defensemen now. They can mitigate some of the usage, depending on the games. So the guys, they're not killing guys. Nobody's out there playing Chris Chelios minutes back in the day or Drew Doughty minutes in the more contemporary world. They're going to be able to spread it some. It would be nice to have six guys, which kind of brings us to a bit of a surprise for me and Tucker's emergence now in the coming up and getting some run on the third pairing. My fear for him has always been the turn and recovery, the mobility. I mean, the physical play is what Jim Montgomery was looking for, but with this team pinching so much on with their defensemen, the remaining defenders got to be able to recover. In addition to having, of course, forward back helping, what have you seen so far from Tucker? Is this a player that's a better player than he was a year ago, or is this a player who's just being used well with five other really good defensemen in the mix?
Yeah, I don't really know what to think about Tucker. I think the main thing that he brings is a different element. That you have, hopefully, the Blues think enough offense from their defensemen when you have Fowler and Faulk and at times Broberg, at times Suter. Those are a little bit less consistent than you would imagine Fowler or even Faulk this season would be. So you know what you're getting from that side. You have big rangy guys and Parayko, Broberg that can defend well and skate well, but you don't really have someone that is a physical presence, and that's what Tucker's brought or brings in general. I think we can look back to that fight with Jeremy Lauzon after Lauzon hits Jake Neighbors in the neutral zone, and that's something that hasn't happened a ton for the Blues this year. I mean, Jake Neighbors has gotten run a few times this year, and Tucker steps in. That's not lost on the Blues themselves and the coaching staff. And I know that doesn't impact the final score a lot, but it does have an effect on the team. And the other thing is, it's Tyler Tucker. He's not going to be playing more than, he's averaging 10 and a half minutes a game. If you don't see a role for Scott Perunovic on the power play, which right now they got Fowler and Falk going, and doesn't seem to be a role for him available. And even if, Falk has been dealing with an injury, even if he's not ready, you have a guy like Broberg who has some power play experience, and you don't feel like you're giving up as much at 5-on-5. And it's tough to see a role for Perunovic if that's what they're doing. If it's not a like for like replacement if you're looking at Tucker or Perunovic. When Perunovic was in the lineup in Florida, I wonder how much of that was just based on Tucker. That would have been Tucker's fourth game in four nights, because he played two in the AHL, came up, played in Tampa, and then he would have been four games in four nights if he played in Florida. And Perunovic hasn't played since. So the Blues seem to like what they got from Tucker. I know they like their his physicality when they brought him up, and we'll see. We've talked about his skating before. It's not the best, and whether that can survive a full season or a full half season the rest of the way, we'll see. But so far, I think he just brings a different element.
And it's a great element to have. I thought Braden Schenn did Foligno a solid by answering the request. I didn't need to do that. Not certainly not with the score.
Well,
I think that
other way
was
around,
respected.
Gordo. Shen asked Foligno.
Why? I mean, to me, it looked like from watching it on TV there. It's just, it's like, okay, this team's getting his butt kicked, and the guy has to do something. Because this is what he has to do, for his team. I thought, oh, Shen's doing a solid. Well, he doesn't. That even makes it worse. He doesn't need to do that, and you
Well,
need a guy
so
like Tucker to do that. I mean, not
okay.
to just to throw him, Tucker into the, as a human, sacrifice a body that when something like this is needed. But, it just seems like, I mean, Braden could do that, but, he really shouldn't.
So the I had the same reaction during the game. I said, well, it's 5-1. Foligno's, I mean, the crowd in Ridley's dead. His team is demoralized. They're down for get something going before the end of the second period. I had the same thought. I thought it was Foligno that asked Schenn, and then I turned to Jeremy Rutherford. He was sitting next to me. I go, "What, Schenn? Why did Schenn take that fight?" And we were kind of dumbfounded. And after the game, Schenn is saying, "Yep, I was the one that asked Foligno because I just wanted the memory. It's not, who knows if you're ever going to be in Ridley Field and." Wanted to just be a fighting in Ridley, and so that's the reason why he did it. He did it for the story, basically. And I think having a 5-1 lead and knowing that the other captain is probably a little riled up at that point makes it more certain that you'll be act you'll your fight will be accepted. But he just wanted to get a scrap in and at the Winter Classic, just do it for the story, have it in his book for his career memoirs, whatever, and move on after that. But when he said that after the game, I was like, "You asked him?" I was just stunned. I think he actually took Jake Neighbor's shift, if I remember correctly. And if Foligno had said no, Schenn would have gone back to the bench.
Well, a couple of things are. One, Foligno took it seriously. Like, okay, if you want to fight, we're going to fight. So it wasn't like it was a silly boy slap party out there. He had his hands full. He's a big guy, and obviously, well respected for what he can do. When he has to drop the mitt. So I was going to pick on. I guess he had to pick the captain. But geez, could you have? And could you at least said, hey, I just need this one for the photo for my scrapbook. Could we just kind of do a dance here? Could we hug it out or something? No,
I mean,
he got punched. He got punched a couple times really good. So I don't
yeah,
know,
he.
Brad. Hockey, hockey players are different, and the Shen family's different. I guess Matthew will chalk this one up to old school.
Yeah, and then he was like, it's a tough customer you're going against. And he got me with the trouble. I lost the fight, but hey, I showed up for it. So that was kind of how he looked at it. And I'm sure it'll be something he can laugh at, probably even today, just 2 days later.
I should I I shake my head, but that's hockey, right? You know,
Yeah.
and so here we go. A couple other things to note on the team. You know, there's still the ever season long search for secondary scoring and some more firepower within the group. You're getting good activity from the D-men. The D-men are up in the play. D-men are pinching. They're involved. They're activated. Getting some points, Justin Falk getting some points. He went long stretches without even getting a secondary assist to his name. So all that's good, and yet they still need, you know, the secondary scoring. Seems like Montgomery has tried to make a bit of a project with Texier, trying to get Alexander on board. He's had a couple moments out there. He's at times skating pretty well, pretty busy. Your take on him is this? Are they hoping to salvage him? Are they showcasing him? What's going on here? And is there hope for him? I mean, it's been most of the year you're trying to get some more results from him.
Yeah, I think with Texier, you can kind of see it coming from that Tampa game. You know, he starts holding on to pucks. He's making a few plays. You see him being more noticeable and being in possession with the puck. Like he's not a guy who you want to be out there when he doesn't have the puck. It just a lot of times he's coasting. He loses responsibility. But when he has the puck, he's a skilled guy who can make plays. So I think we saw that with that Tampa game. Got a shift in the power play that night. In Florida, he makes that nice pass to Oscar Sundquist from below the goal line for a goal, and he ends up getting an overtime shift. Like these are rewards for him. And then in that Detroit game, gets moved to the top line with Thomas and Buchnevich. He scores a goal on the rush. You know, so those three games were three of his better ones of the season. Misses a game because he's sick. And then against Buffalo, I don't think he was very good, turning pucks over, and you can see that the coaching staff felt that way at least a little bit, moving him from the top line down to the fourth line, because Gordo, ice time never lies, and so he moves down to the fourth line, and he scored a goal in Ridley the other day, so that's got to help. But I think we have to look at the circumstances of that goal too. I mean, it's a backdoor tap in off a rebound in a 5-2 game. So I think they want more from him. I think they want more from honestly all of their forwards that aren't Kyrou Thomas, Holloway. I think Buchnevich has some more to give. Brandon Saad clearly has a lot more that he can be doing. Braden Schenn, I think his numbers are, can be better. I think they're still looking for something from a lot of different guys. I think the fact that they've been able to get 14 goals out of Dylan Holloway is a big thing for them.
All right, last thing here on the net front, ongoing is the World Junior Championships, and the Blues have a lot of guys over there playing. Sweden's playing pretty well. Slovakia's done well so far. Czechia. So it's you got a lot of guys, and we'll see where we are by next week in terms of assessing the group. But not a terrible thing that so many of your prospects are in this event. And was really some interesting expectations for Sweden now with Canada having a bit of a rough go. It's going to be fun to see how this plays out.
Yeah, and in Sweden today, they already beat Latvia. They beat them 3-2, so they're going from into the semis right now as we speak. The United States is up 4-1 on Switzerland at the end of the first period. So Colin Ralph probably moving on to the semis there. And I think we all knew that Dalibor Dvorsky would be a guy that Slovakia looked at. They're about a one line team, and they treat their ice time as such. Dvorsky's averaging about 22 and a half minutes a game, which is an insane number for a forward, right? Like you think about that as a defense number and you say, oh, that guy's being used a lot. And then you think about it as a forward, and that's an insane number. So he's getting a ton of ice time, winning a lot of faceoffs. I think he's about 65% for the tournament, got 7 points in four games. Jakob Stensel, he's having a big tournament as well. He's got 7 points. They got a big one tonight against Canada. And we'll see what Czechia can do there. They got the four Czechs from the Blues are on there: Adam Juracek, Jakub Stanstil, Adam Jecko, and Andrei Kosh. So they got the four guys there. Pekarčík and Dvorsky are on the same line for Slovakia. They they have both had good games against Kazakhstan the other day, each had 4 points. But it is Kazakhstan who actually lost this morning, and they will be moving down a level of the junior hockey internationally. So you got some different performances from some different guys. Lindstein and Stenberg, they've been leaders for their team. And you know, we'll see what happens in the next week, but there should be some really good matchups, really good tests for a lot of these Blues prospects.
Well, that's Matthew DeFranks. I'm Jeff Gordon. This has been the NetFront Presence. A reminder that you can get all of our podcasts in addition to all the extra content we do on the digital edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch over on stltoday.com. A lot of cool stuff there if you're catching us on a podcast app. Please do check out our website. Continue to support local journalism. Until next time, for Matthew DeFranks back from the Windy City, I'm Jeff Gordon. This has been the NetFront. Until next time, see ya.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.